Please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter, in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 68. Genesis chapter 49, starting with the 16th verse, we'll read responsively through verse 22. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, a troop, shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. And let's read together the text verse for this morning's message, verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. And let's pray. And Lord, it's good that we're here. Of all the places in the world we could be, this no doubt is the best place. Thank you for our church, thank you for our church family. Thank you for the health of spirit that we feel when we occupy this place. And as we're here this morning, give our hearts an openness, our minds alertness, and help us to be ready to receive the Word of God. You've given us a preacher, a man of God. Help us to receive gratefully what you prepared through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Getting Lord's Supper Day, I get about a 10-minute late start on my sermon, and I always make this promise. I will close this sermon no later than 12:10, and I believe I'll close it by 12:05. But I promise you I'll not be speaking, and you folks that come here know that I never break this promise. I'll be finished speaking by 12:10. I promise you that by 12:30, you'll be on your way. You need not worry if it's 12:09, and it seems like I haven't got unstuck yet. I'll just call for help and get pulled out of the rut and stop. Now, because of that, I want you to listen very carefully. You need not turn to it, but here's my text and also my title, Whose Branches Run Over the Wall. This was said of Joseph. It says he is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. And here's my text, whose branches run over the wall. My preaching is very important to me. I'm not filling up time. I'm not just having a vocation. It's not not a job I've got to fulfill. It's very important to me. And I want to help you. One little line, whose branches over the wall. Our Heavenly Father, help me as I speak, and these whom I've tried to serve for over a third of a century, as they hear. May we together gain strength for tomorrow, so others may gain strength from our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. This sermon originated in Palm Springs, California. I was preaching there, and I took Mrs. Hiles, near Palm Springs. I took Mrs. Hiles with me, and we stayed for a couple of nights or so in Palm Springs. Unusual place. It's where a lot of famous people, especially movie stars, have lived, especially for their winter homes. I saw the place where my hero Liberace lived, and where she died. He died. We stayed in a hotel on Frank Sinatra Boulevard. We saw the house where Bob Hope was one of his houses. We saw, oh my soul, we took a little tour And we saw the houses of a lot of movie stars, especially those years ago. Some of them already passed away now. And we saw that beautiful city of Palm Springs. We're driving on the tour, and I saw something that reminded me of my text today. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's that way in not only Palm Springs, but many of your Southern California cities. Their neighborhoods are walled, the entire neighborhood. The same thing is true in Arizona, Scottsdale and Mesa and parts of Phoenix. You can't drive into a neighborhood. They've got a little guard there in the guardhouse. And all of this entire development of houses here, you can't see them unless you're going to see somebody. And all you can see as you drive down the street is a wall, not like these hideous walls we have on our highways here, but nice walls. And then you can't climb those walls because they've got barbed wire at the top. I got scratched to pieces as I was there. And they have these walls around these neighborhoods. We're driving through a very, very affluent neighborhood, and much like Indiana Harbor is here. And we're driving through this very affluent neighborhood, and there was this wall up, and you could not see over the wall, and beautiful houses, I'm sure, inside the wall. And they have fruit trees, of course, as you know, out there in Southern California, and there were fruit trees. And there was one tree on this particular entire block that had a branch that fell down over the wall. And there was a poor man there. And I don't know what kind of fruit, if any kind, was on that tree, but there was a poor man just outside that wall trying to get something to eat from that tree. And I thought of Genesis chapter 49. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Within a walled garden stands a fertile tree, close, the Bible says, to a nourishing fountain. To the owner of the enclosed space, the tree yields its fruit, as it should, for that's the purpose of the tree, was to yield fruit to the owner and to those who belong to the owner. And that's fine. But a small portion of this tree, maybe a branch, was hanging over the wall. And Joseph was called this tree with a branch that was hanging over the wall. Looking up in the hot is a hot and hungry pilgrim who sees the fruit within his reach. He's not allowed inside that wall, and almost all the fruit of that tree is for the folks who live within the wall. But that one branch hangs over the tree, the wall. And that means that the hot and hungry pilgrim can glean from its branches. Beaten and battered men and women are out there outside the wall. Poor, neglected little children are outside the wall. Poor widows can reach its fruit, and fallen men can sit beneath its shade. The crippled, the poor, the needy, the fallen, the forgotten share in the generosity of this one little branch that is nourished inside the wall. But this branch hangs over the wall. Now, it is true that most of our time should be spent for our own. I'm not advocating that a student in Howells Anderson College not pay his bill and give his money to poor people. I'm not advocating anybody in this room who owes debts not pay your debts and give money to poor people. I'm not advocating that. If you pay somebody else's money and don't pay your debts and give to poor people, you're forcing them to give. You're doing the same thing the government does. You're forcing somebody else to help the poor when that should be a voluntary matter. I'm not suggesting that you not take care of your own. My Bible says if you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. That means if you have an able body and you don't provide for your own, but you, the welfare department does, you're worse than an infidel. That means if you could provide for your own and don't, and somebody else does, that means you're worse than an infidel. Now, I'm not suggesting that you put the entire tree outside the wall. I am suggesting, however, that you should have a limb, a branch or so, hanging over that wall so those that pass by can glean from your tree. I'm not suggesting that you take all of your time and spend all of your time helping those outside the wall. I think you should spend most of your time helping your own children. Charity begins at home but doesn't end there. And so here's this big tree inside the wall. There's a fountain there that nourishes this tree. And the inhabitants within the wall are those that enjoy the tree the most. But one little segment of it hangs over the wall. So the hungry, poor, and the little child, the orphan, the widow, if you please. I am inside the wall today. Thank God. God's been good to me, and I'm inside the wall. I live in a nice house. We have lovely furniture. My wife has a wonderful husband. We live inside the wall. We have good food to eat. We drive nice cars. We live inside the wall. Thanks to people like you that love us and care for us, we live inside the wall. But I have been outside that wall. I know what it's like to stay inside the wall and enjoy the niceties within the wall. But ladies and gentlemen, I've also been outside that wall. I know how it feels out there. I know how it feels to walk outside that wall, look up and wish somebody would leave a branch hanging over the wall. I know what it's like. I've been told by my mother to walk along the railroad tracks to look for some mustard greens growing wild so we could have something to eat for supper. I know what it's like to go down to a pecan tree that a limb was hanging down over the fence and picking pecans up from the little gully there outside the orchard. I know what it's like to pick pecans like that for a meal. I know what it's like to live outside the wall. I've been sent along the railroad tracks many times along the road, side of the road, to look for pop bottles so I could go take them down to the store and sell them for 2 cents apiece. So we could buy something, maybe a can of spinach or maybe a can of corn, just to have one something to open so we could have a meal. I've been outside the wall, ladies and gentlemen. I know what it's like to walk outside that wall and look up and see a branch hanging over the wall where I can find just about a bite to eat or encouragement. Now I'm saying this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying I decided to provide for my family. And bless God, I've done that. My wife has never worked a day outside the home. She's never worked many days inside the home. But she's kept our house clean and spotless, and she's reared the kids, and I've provided for my family. And I promised God over 50 years ago that I would provide for my family. And I mean, that means if I got to have one job, two jobs, five jobs, I'll provide for my family. I want to say this. We need some old-fashioned American men who say, I'll take care of my family. I'll provide for my family. Some of you fellows staying home being house husbands, may God pity your feminine soul. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, America's dying for some red-blooded, barrel-chested, broad-shouldered men who say, I'll take care of my own. But outside the walls of your providing for your own, there ought to be one little branch hanging, designated for somebody outside the family. So many things I want to say, but I'll just tell you a story. I decided to keep one branch near the wall. No one is asking you to put the tree out there. Just a limb. There are folks this morning who put your tree outside the wall and don't provide for your own, and that's wrong. Then there are other people here who put that tree so far inside the wall, nothing hangs outside the wall for anybody else. Years ago, and this is what I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that everybody in this room ought to take a little time every week to take care of somebody outside the wall. I'm saying that everybody in this room ought to take a little money and take that money to take care of somebody outside the wall. Years ago, many years ago, I decided to put aside a little bit of money every week to hang over the wall. That money became several hundred dollars. And I was asking God to help me to find somebody outside the wall that I ought to help. We had a teacher in our schools here that was a lovely lady and a splendid teacher, but her teeth protruded. And the honest, simple truth is, I don't think she'd ever got married. I mean, to kiss her would have been dangerous. I never tried, but I thought it would. But one day the Holy Spirit said to me, she's outside the wall. She can't do a thing about that. And I had a little money hanging outside the wall there on my branch. I called her in. I called her by name. And I won't begin to call her by name. Some of you folks know who I'm talking about, and I don't think she'd mind me telling you. I'll call her Betty. That was her name. And I said, Betty, I'll be very frank with you. I don't think you'll ever get married. She said, I know. I said, I'm afraid that your teeth must be fixed. And she said, Pastor, I'd love to have them fixed, but I can't afford it. I did not use these words, but I said this in content. I said, Betty, I've got a little money tucked away for somebody that needs some help. I'd like you to go down to a dentist, and I'd like for you to have oral surgery, whatever you have to have. I'd like to see those teeth straightened. I promise you, Betty, you'll never get married unless you take care of those teeth. She began to cry. She said, I can't believe you'd do this for me. And I took a little money that I had. I didn't take any money from my family. I didn't take any money from the people I owed. I didn't quit providing for my family. But one little branch was hanging down over the wall there. And I'd let that branch collect. Betty went down and she did this, and I found out what it cost. And I had enough money hanging over the wall there on that branch to take care of Betty's teeth. She got her teeth fixed. And by the way, she was a beautiful lady after she got her teeth fixed. And I knew she would, because she was an attractive lady, all but her teeth. The other day, Ms. Hiles and I went down to Kankakee, Bourbonnais, Illinois, where I preached. The speaker before me was a marvelous speaker, an evangelist. What a charming, delightful person he was. That evangelist is the husband of that little lady whose teeth I fixed from the branch outside my wall. Again, I'm not asking you to take, sell your house and sell your car and sell your husband. You couldn't get anything for him. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm not asking you to take what your family needs. I'm just asking you, put one little limb outside the wall. There are hungry people out there. There are lonely people out there. There are sad people, heartbroken people, people whose lives are wrecked and ruined, whose dreams have fallen apart, and air castles have crumbled on the pavement of Providence, and they need somebody to help. And they're out there walking up and down, looking up the wall, hoping somebody has left a little limb out there, some little fruit that's hanging down over the wall. Hey, you selfish people! There are people outside the wall. Don't live in a house as nice as yours. There are people outside the wall. Don't drive a car like you drive. There are people outside the wall. Don't have the clothes that you have. I'm not saying give it all. I'm saying one little branch, stick it outside the wall.
I sat there, tears in my eyes, as I remembered, you'll never get married. Now she's a lovely pastor's wife. The pastor became an evangelist in recent years and one of the most charming speakers you'll ever hear in your life. And I gave the invitation. After I preached, I saw them drop to their knees there, the chair, and I saw them kneel together. I wish you knew what it's like to help somebody. I wish you knew what it's like to see somebody wearing a coat that you bought. I wish you knew what it's like to see somebody eating a meal that you bought. But you sat there inside the wall. Let the whole world go to the devil. Let the world starve. Ladies and gentlemen, there are more people outside that wall than there are inside that wall. I'm not talking about the government taxing you to pay for somebody some big fat drunkard's meal. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people outside the wall. I know, I've been there. Leave at least one branch hanging down outside the wall. The rest of my sermon is going to be about one man who left his branch outside the wall for me. A man I don't say enough about. A man who influenced my life as much as anybody, and I rarely ever mention him. Most of you old-timers have heard the name H.J. Harris. My uncle. My rich uncle. He passed away, and my request, I was not in his will. Uncle Harvey was a wealthy man. He didn't drive a car. He owned bought a new Cadillac every year. And he had a chauffeur that drove him everywhere he went. Uncle Harvey was, every time the church had an offering, they asked him to pray. He was a wealthy man. No doubt a multimillionaire back in the days when that was really, really, really something. Still is. He was not in our family by blood. He married my mother's sister. He hated my father. He hated my father, what my father did to my mother. He hated my father, what my father did to me and my sister. Uncle Harvey had no use for my mother, but Uncle Harvey... And by the way, he lived luxuriously, had a nice home, beautiful furniture. You went to his house, a maid answered the door. You saw him drive down the street. He was in the back seat of a big, long, black Cadillac, and there was a chauffeur driving down the street. And across town, in the ghettos, there lived a little woman trying to rear a couple of kids. Sacrificing, doing without. Looking, trying to find a branch hanging down over the wall. And as a poor little boy, 6 or 7 years of age, I became ill, very ill. I missed most, if not all, of one entire year of school. My mother couldn't afford to do anything about it. We couldn't afford a doctor. We couldn't afford a hospital. And I was sick, too sick to go to school. Mom and I walking down outside the wall, wondering what to do. Mother was afraid I was going to die. She'd already lost two daughters. Two of her four children already died. And they died the same age I was when I was bad sick, and Mother was scared. One day we were walking down outside the wall. Looked up and there was a branch hanging down. Inside that wall was a man whose name was H.J. Harris. He drove out to our house and he said, "Costell, I heard Jack is sick." "Costell, my mother." She said, "Yes, Harvey. We don't know what's wrong. We can't afford a doctor." Uncle Harvey said, "I'll take care of that." Reached up and took some fruit off that branch. He took me to his mansion of a house. Didn't go to the hospital. Didn't have to go to the hospital. His house was so nice. I had surgery inside his house on his bedroom. And Dr. Jack Crawford came. Had surgery. I wouldn't be alive today, I'm sure, if there hadn't been a branch hanging down outside Harvey Harris's wall. He didn't give all he had. He drove a Cadillac. He had a chauffeur. He had a maid. He had everything he wanted. But he had one branch hanging down outside the wall. When time came for me to graduate from high school, my little mother walked in one day and she said, by the way, in those days, didn't wear caps and gowns to high school graduation. Girls wore long formal dresses. I still remember what yours looked like, a yellow one. And your baccalaureate dress was red, I think, and maybe it's black in it. I remember it was too big, too. No, too small, I'm sorry. My mother walked in the day before graduation and said, "Son, I'm sorry. Oh, you'll not be able to go to your graduation." I said, "Why?" She said, "I can't afford a suit. You've got to have a suit, and I can't afford it." She said, "I'm sorry. You can get your diploma, but you can't go to your graduation." I went to my little room that night, and I got on my knees beside the bed and said, "Oh, God, I want to go to my graduation." I walked outside the wall, trying to find some little branch hanging down over the wall. I went to the post office or my mailbox. There was a letter from Uncle Harvey. Came about 6 hours before graduation. He said, "Dear Jack, I heard you graduating from high school, but didn't hear about it in time to buy anything. Enclose a $50 check. Use it as you want to, hope you don't mind the cash." In those days, you could buy a suit of clothes for $25, $30, brand new one. I went down and bought me a suit of clothes and a tie and a nice white shirt and a nice new pair of shoes and socks. Walked across the platform that night. "Look, I know what it's like to be outside the wall. I know what it's like also to see a branch hanging down. Everybody in this room, enjoy your life and don't give it all away, but have some hanging outside the wall. Somebody's out there looking for a little branch. Came time to graduate from college. Mama couldn't afford just 150 miles, but Mama couldn't afford to come down. Everybody in my graduation class had somebody there except me. Of course, Mrs. Hiles and I were married at the time, and we were standing out there in the place, and all these families around taking pictures. We were poor. We, by ourselves, watching folks take pictures, and there's moms and dads and grandparents. We're walking outside that wall wishing somebody. I was walking outside the wall trying to find a branch. Down at the bottom of the hill of our college up on a hill. Coming up that road to the college came a big, long, black Cadillac car. The chauffeur was driving it. Uncle Harvey and Jimmy and my mother were in the car.
All those students said, "Wow. Wonder whose that is."
I said, "My family."
Now listen, there are a lot of little Jackie Boy houses out there that are outside the wall. They need somebody to come to help them. There are a lot of little coastal houses rearing their children by themselves and barely making ends meet.
I'm no saint, but I can point to hundreds of people in this room today who've seen the little branch I have outside the wall. I don't know of a thing better to say about Joseph. He's a fruitful bough whose branches hang outside the wall. One day, I was already a preacher, making a few dollars a week and mowing yards of my members for $1 a yard to keep our mouths fed. And one day, my mother lived in, you wouldn't believe the little shack she lived in. One day a big black Cadillac drove up. Chauffeur opened the door. Uncle Harvey never opened the door for himself. Chauffeur opened the door and Uncle Harvey got up and walked up to my mother's shack and said, "Costell, would you come with us, please? Jimmy and I want you to come with us." Uncle Harvey and Aunt Jimmy put my mother in the back seat of the car and they drove mother across town to a nice little rock house. 2 bedrooms and a nice bath. A very lovely little place. It'd sell now for $75,000. But good night, when you lived in the shacks we lived in, it looked like it must be a mansion. Uncle Harvey said, "Costell, this is yours the rest of your life." I've been out there. I know how it feels. I know what it's like to sit down at a table and your mother cries because there's not one single bite to put on the table. I know what it's like. Today I want to thank God for all those people who didn't give everything away. They took care of their own needs. But they had one little branch outside the wall. How long has it been since anybody ate of your fruit hanging outside the wall? How long has it been since you let a branch, took a branch and put it outside the wall? Your tree's planted so much near the center of your life, it can't reach the wall. Nothing wrong with America today. I'll tell you what. We wouldn't have to have a flat tax. Wouldn't have to have a sales tax. Wouldn't have to have an income tax. If every single American would take one little branch and put it outside the wall, we could feed our hungry and care for our aged and provide for the poor. If we'd put some little branch, it wouldn't take a lot. One branch, voluntarily, put it outside the wall. There are hungry people out there. The tour guide said, "Here's the home over here where Al Jolson used to live. Here's the home over here where Frank Sinatra used to live. Elvis Presley lived over here for a while, this house over here." You could hardly see the houses because they were all surrounded by walls. Sometimes one little glimpse through the driveway, you could get a little glimpse. But we could see the tops of the houses. And then I saw it. One beautiful wall. gorgeous neighborhood inside, I'm sure. And one branch hanging over the wall. And a poor man trying to find something to eat on that branch. And I said, oh God, that's what I want to do. I want my branch to hang over the wall. I'll provide for my wife. I'll take care of our needs. But I want to give a part of my life to the poor, hungry people who are outside the wall. I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to walk outside that wall and look up trying to find something hanging over. I know what it's like. I also know what it's like to be inside that wall and put a branch on the outside. I know what it's like to see someone wearing a suit that I bought for them that they'd never owned. I know what it's like to see a little past preacher's wife sit out there and her husband preaching a charming sermon after she had just taken a little bit of fruit that I had on my branch outside the wall. Everybody in this house ought to take some time. Most of the time should be for your family. Most of your time, providing for your own. You don't want to be worse than an infidel. You don't want to not pay your bills, and you want to pay your school bill, and you want to pay your debts. But there's nobody here who couldn't put a little bit outside the wall. Maybe your branch could not be heavy laden. Maybe your branch just has coins on it. But there are people to whom a coin would look mighty good this morning. Or maybe your branch could have thousands of dollars on it. Be amazed what it'd do for them outside the wall. And by the way, you'd be amazed what it'd do for you inside the wall too. The time came for Uncle Harvey to die. He called for me. And I went to him. And he said, son, you've been the joy of my life. Me? What have I done for you? He said, there have been times when you've let me do for you. And that's the joy of my life. And that's what brings joy. Just to put a branch outside the wall. So the hungry and the lonely and the starving and the naked and the cold and the forgotten can look up and see it. As did the old man, the poor man in Palm Springs. Would you bow your heads, please?